Hi there.
How's it going? Just so everybody knows, I have with me today Sophia Slade. So thank you everybody for coming. If this is your first time, or if you're, somebody that's been here for different seasons, or at least for season four, I've been really fortunate the wide reach and range of people that we've been able to have on. So thank you so much for coming on, Sophia, today.
Oh
It
my
was
gosh,
awesome.
of
I saw
course.
your cover. I was like, let's do this thing, and I think it was like last
It's
week, right? We were able to get it in and figure it out. So thank you so much for.
gorgeous, isn't it? The cover is so
It's really
beautiful.
nice. Yeah.
I'm so glad that we were able to connect though. This is awesome. I just
Yeah,
another
it was
good thing
awesome.
about being on Blue Sky. So
Yep. Well, that's what I was saying before we got recording. I had like 10 people where I was just like, where have you been? I'm like, what's going on with this algorithm? So it just
It's like
makes
a
me
fresh
think that,
algorithm or something.
ooh, that's actually, I wasn't thinking that, but that's actually a really good way
I
to put
wonder
it.
if that's what that is. Like it, or maybe like that's part of it at least. Like it's just not like bogged down. It's just like a new app. So maybe it's just like a new
No, maybe the
thing.
wheels were greasy or
Yeah,
something, and it was going.
just,
Yeah, that's totally true. Well, it's funny because I was like sitting there the other day, and I was like, "Ooh!" And I like took a screenshot of like your cover, then I was like, "Oh!" And my wife's like, "What's going on?" I was like, "I'm finding all these authors that I was like, I didn't know, that their books were coming out or didn't know them or something." I was like, "This is really exciting." So she just looked at me like nerd, and I was like, "Let me do my thing." But it was really, really. So yeah, I love that cover though. It was like absolutely amazing. So
They did a
definitely
really, really great job.
definitely.
The artist handle is it's Nordsoll, I believe. Oh my God, I should know the artist handle off the top of my head. But she's fantastic. She's super, super talented. And I'm excited for the cover. Yes, it is Nordsoll. I just had to make sure. I was like, did I just give the
I'm
wrong
gonna definitely
handle?
check that out. So
Yeah, no, she's fantastic. Ta-da! Of course, I
yeah,
have a
that's amazing.
prop right here.
Definitely
I
excited to
gotta.
see the next one in particular too, just to see kind of how they handle it. Cool. It's
Well,
awesome.
the book two, Veil Weaver, the cover so far, I don't think I should drop, exactly
Yeah, it's
who's going
fine.
to be on it, but one of the other main characters is going to be on it. It's a four book
Oh, awesome.
series, so they're each going to get a cover. So,
Oh, that's super cool. That's a great idea, actually. I haven't
yeah,
seen
thank you.
people do that. It's that was like early, like or like late, like whatever, like 2006 to it was really like 2014. It was like before I moved to New York, I noticed that people had started to do that, and then all of a sudden, people kind of went back to, just like a scene of like the main character, and you had to kind of be like with the main character in that scene, if you're another character to be on the cover. So that's cool that coming back around. That's really, really
Well,
neat.
I was very adamant about it. I was like, listen, I realize that like Knight's Rider is the titular character. Like, I understand, like, yes, she probably is the most important, but like, if she's here, the other three are like here. Like, they're really, really vital to the story, and they all have an equal amount of perspective. So, and there's four books in the series. So I was like, it has to be in this order. And also, like, they need to be on the covers. So that was a battle that I'm very glad we won.
Oh, that's awesome. I definitely understand that. I had a character for my prequel novella series, and all of a sudden she was like, I'm not a secondary character. And I was like, well, actually. And she looked at me and she was like,
She's
I
like,
am character.
she's like, excuse me.
So I was like, oh, and my friend and I were like, oh, he goes, oh, so she's more in book one. I'm like, yeah, apparently. And so he goes, thank goodness you didn't get, she goes, thank goodness you got to put on the cover of the second prequel novella. But he goes, you're probably gonna have to put her on the cover of, book one. I was like, all right. But I think that's where sometimes it's just cool to be able to, express those characters. I like seeing a lot of the secondary characters or different characters on covers. I think that, lately people have been doing a good job, and there's like, oh, who's that? And then, I don't know. I've seen a lot of people do it to great effect lately. So I think sometimes you just get that main character all the time. It's like, I don't know. It gets kind of separate. So I think that's a really cool.
I
That's
totally
awesome.
agree. I totally agree.
That's awesome. So we'll start there with that first question. This is one of my favorite ones to ask. It was actually one given to me by somebody that listened in season one really early on. I was like, you should ask this. And I'm like, that's genius. So I've been doing it ever since. What has your writing journey been like up until this point?
Oh man. So I've been
All of
writing
this.
so, so I have been writing since I was about 8. I think.
Oh.
So very long, so 20 years.
Yeah.
20 years. I became very serious about it when I was about 12, so not long after. But I was very much like, this is what I am going to do with my life. And there's no other path for me. And I was just very, very focused on it throughout, like all of my childhood, adolescence, like just very, singular goal. And let's see, I independently published my first book when I was 19.
Oh, wow.
So a little less than 10 years ago now, I can do math. So that was a young adult like steampunk dystopian. It was
Oh, that's
called
cool.
Vinyl. It never really made it far off the ground. I mean, I was a baby when I wrote it. Like, we can't all be R.F. Kwong when we're 19, like
Yeah, Christopher Columbus, right? Like,
right. So like
yeah.
it had kind of like a small cult following, and that was great, and like I absolutely treasure that. But I would say that I didn't really break through the noise very much.
Yeah.
But I think that it holds a special place in my heart, that trilogy does. And I also wrote it while I was in college at NYU, so I had a lot going on. Not much of
Yeah.
it social.
That's
But then I also wrote three collections of poetry. Those were mostly just like for myself. Like, I did publish them, but I was never really like, that was never my main focus. And I believe I was 21 when I came up with the idea of Night Strider. So I
okay.
kind of started, so it's been a long time coming.
Yeah.
I got an agent. I was like 22. That relationship ended up not working out, but I ended up deciding to self-publish Night Strider, and it sort of took off in the indie space, at least somewhat, like not doing crazy numbers, but like solidly. And that's when I got the simplified version is that's when I got picked up by my agent, Bethany Weaver, and Orbit. So, yeah.
Oh,
So that's the cliff notes of my version of my journey, and the real one is a lot messier, but those are the basics.
that's really cool. Well,
Thank
that's
you.
awesome. I know the feeling. I had a script when I was like 17, and I was just talking about this the other day with a friend of mine on here, and they're like, well, somebody like my drama teacher knew somebody, and they're like, oh yeah, let's just give it to somebody. And they're like, they want to buy it. And I'm like, oh, cool. And then he's like, they want to change everything about it. And I was like, oh, I'm not going to sell. But now I'm like, why didn't I do that? Like, just
Yeah.
for, well, like, not for the money's sake, but just for, like, the step off or,
Yeah.
the potentials, like, I actually wish I had done that, because now I'm like, ooh, it needed a lot of work. Like, they should have changed it. You know what I
Oh
mean? Like,
yeah. No,
oh,
absolutely. I
yeah,
mean, like,
I
Night Strider has changed so much since I first wrote it, which makes
awesome.
sense. I mean, it's been years.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that it did, but originally it was just two perspectives. It was just Ren and Kane, and now it's four perspectives and like 50,000 words longer, and I think better. Like, I
Yeah.
think better. My editor is really great, and she's really helped me like hone it. So I'm pleased, I think, with the outcome.
That's amazing. That's really cool. That's I
Yeah.
didn't realize that you had published it previously for indie, and then it got picked up.
Yeah.
Such a, you're
Yeah,
like another,
I
like tally up that's been, something that's happened to them recently. It seems like I'm gravitating towards a lot of you in whatever way with the
Indie
algorithms.
turned trad authors. Yeah.
Interesting. It's always interesting to see that, but that's like I like that the person, when my friend suggested that question, because it's like, there's a lot you can learn from, different people's journeys and stuff. It's been one of the
Oh,
best questions
yeah.
someone suggested. So,
Definitely. Definitely. And
no.
I think like I think my journey has been relatively unique. I mean, I'm certainly not the only author who's gone from indie to trad, but I also think that the sort of the way that I don't want to say stumbled, because everything in my life has been extremely intentional. And my journey towards like being traditionally published has been very, very intentional and very single-minded. But I also think that the ways that I have fallen in with like my agent, like my particular publisher, like the people that I have met, I have not seen it replicated in that exact way. And I think that's true of everyone. You know, everyone has like a really unique publishing journey. And I'd say, well, many of them are just like, I queried and then I got picked up and then I, you know, such and such bought, you know, I signed a contract with such and such. That happens. But I would say the majority of my friends have sort of found a different route.
I would agree with that. Yeah, at least people I've talked to. Yep. Yeah, it's definitely been, like, I would say similar years, but different. Like, it's funny because, like, four different people I've interviewed for Trad recently, and, like, you guys completely went about things or had things happen completely different, which is always interesting to me, you know?
Yeah.
Even, like, indie people are, you know, they're like, oh, I'm sure you always hear the same thing. And I always laugh because when people say that, I'm like, okay, it's going to be really.
Really? Like.
Yeah. Like, it just goes to show you. I want to do this at some point where if, like, you and three other authors and I come together and we're like, okay, here's this one idea. And then we're going to write about it, right? But it's just, like, the basics, even if the character names are the same and basic descriptions, right? But then we all go off our own. We're all going to come up with a totally different short story, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I think that's the whole point, right? It's just not just stories. It's our, you know, you're right. It's our individual stories and the way things happen to us, too. And I think maybe it's a history teacher in me, but I think we can always learn from stuff like that. I always call it my video diary, right? Or journal with people I meet and talk to. Cause I think there's not one person who, you know, has answered that question or has talked about, you know, their journey, you know, where I haven't learned something, you know, really valuable. So I think it's always, I totally understand that. That's cool.
Yeah. I also think, and I know we're I don't want to like ramble too much because like,
oh, don't worry about it. I forgot to say we like to meander because whatever's like kind of on your guys' minds or you guys want to talk about really ends up being like an interesting part of the conversation. So
we're
kind of going on the river. It's fine.
So I think one interesting thing for me has been the revelation. So I went out to New York. I'm in Iowa right now. And I was raised like in the Midwest and I went out to New York, you know, just trying to like chase like the dream of like being like a big shot writer. My career didn't take off until I moved back to the Midwest. Like, I think there have been like some connections and like good things that have come from like being in the thick of it in the city. Mostly I was just depressed and broke. And like overworked. And I won't say that like nothing good came out of it. Like I did BookCon and that was a lot easier to do like when I was there, you know, like in the city. And that did lead to me getting, you know, like my first agent, but that relationship also kind of fell apart. And my current agent, who is fantastic, I met on Instagram, you know, like I think just the, for better and for worse, I think that because of the way that publishing functions nowadays and because of the way that we can contact each other so easily just with like social media and stuff, it just kind of doesn't matter like exactly where you are. And I think that that was like a major change for me. I also, I think, thought that like for some reason I wouldn't be happy in the Midwest, but like I'm so much happier here. The laws, terrifying. I don't even want to think about it. But as far as like my group of friends and like my mental health and, you know, I'm much happier in our little townhouse in the middle of nowhere than I was in a shoebox that I could always hear people screaming outside of. So who knew, right?
Yeah. It's crazy because I watch like stuff like Friends or How I Met Your Mother and whatever, they have these New York apartments and I'm like, you're lying because my sister-in-law, like, yeah, we stay in her closet all the time, right? Like she would come here. We live in Ithaca, so it's like where Cornell University is. So you know, she would come here, stay at our like old apartment, which was massive compared to hers. Then like now our house and stuff. So what was so funny is we used to go there. So we would just flip flop, or if she went somewhere, be like, oh, we're gonna go to the city for a couple of days. Literally, like it was hard to move in that thing.
I think it can be like some people are just like I think people, of course, people who are from there, but also some people just adjust to it better. I did not adjust well to it, I think. I can do it. I can do it. But I think I've got too much Midwest in me. I'm always like, oh, sorry. Like,
oh, yeah, you got to make sure you're like walking across the street,
and I do. I got mean. I did get mean. And I'm capable of it. I just don't really enjoy it. And I think I'm happier here on the whole. Although, again, like, our governor's crazy. And it's like, not a great place to be right now, but in my little tiny bubble in our townhouse, it's very nice.
Well we lived in Phoenix for a while, and it was so, I met my wife out there actually. I was like, actually I was gonna go to Charlotte, North Carolina. I had a job lined up, and then I decided not to take it last minute. It was crazy good idea because everybody got fired because they were all like doing illegal stuff, so it was nuts, right? So then I was like, oh, I'm making way less, but at least my mom like sent me the news article, and I was like, oh, at least I didn't get, you know, fired and banned from, you know, the Department of Education or whatever.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
they, like, that's crazy. Her,
like, later, and like, yeah, it was like, we had a great time out there, but it was like, they just didn't treat their educators, or more importantly, their students very well. So we were like, I was like, I'm just kind of ready to get out of here. And
for sure.
I was like, I want to go now. And I'm like, okay. And it was funny because we had only been there for like 10 months, and then we headed here, and I was like, oh, I like it here. And it's like that old meme where it's like, this is nice.
That's exactly, so funny, like, right?
I'm like, it's so much nicer here. Like, and everything like fit for me a lot better. But I like that, you know, I can still go to New York City 3.5 hours. We're actually going next weekend. We're going to PAX Unplugged. We're actually we're going to my friend's their engagement party. And she goes, oh, there's a huge gaming convention in town. I was like, what's the date?
What? And
I looked, I'm missing Matt Mercer by like just 12 hours. So I'm hoping
or
something. Yeah, I was like, I hope he like is around the, you know, the con or something on Saturday or Sunday still. But it's nice, right? Like, I still had that ability. We used to go everywhere. You know, but I still got to kind of live my Midwest life, you know, like here, but also with like like-minded people. We have a very like forward town that we live in. Thank goodness.
A very what?
Forward thinking.
Yeah. Honestly, so is where I live. It's Des Moines, which is like, Des Moines's cool. I don't think I would be nearly as happy or comfortable like way out in the middle of nowhere, but like, you know, I mean, like, Des Moines is a decent sized city. I think it's like a little less than a million people. Like, it's very like, there's like, it's sort of a liberal bubble, I think. And I think that helps, but also, you know, I mean, it's complicated. It's strange times, as you well know. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's funny. I'm a history teacher. It's like, that's all I teach, are strange times. One of my kids goes, they like said something. I go, here's the thing. I go, and this is what's fun about being a writer. I said, you're just so used to it by a certain point. I said, it doesn't make a point in history. I go, you got to realize that there's not really a time where things were normal or whatever. Yeah. I'm like, always something going on. And one of my kids goes, maybe that's why you have so much to write about. I'm like, that's fair. I was like, that's fair, buddy. I was like, maybe at some point we could just all chill and not have as much to write about. That'd be kind of nice. Yeah. But maybe time for creators. I don't know. I've heard a couple people say that. But yeah, it is definitely interesting times, as they say, right? It's Oliver Twist.
I always think of I wish it had not happened in my time. And then I think it's Gandalf that says, as do I and as do all who live to see such times. And I'm definitely feeling that right now.
I have a lot of Captain America quotes.
What?
A lot of Captain America quotes. I was like re-listening to a couple things, and I was like, it was just so interesting because he's got the famous one from Civil War, which is like the Mark Twain quote about standing beside the river of truth, and then when you say no, you move, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna go back down that rabbit hole, and it's just so funny. Like, I'm like, I always like had connected with him, and it's just like, not like Captain America, like Steve Rogers, you know, he does what he thinks is right, you know, he's trying to help everybody, and I just didn't realize till like the last couple months as I'm going back through, I'm like, I'm gonna go back to this. I'm like, he always makes me feel better about stuff like that, and it's crazy to like some of the movie quotes and stuff, you know, I'm like, man, this writing. That's like, found a lot of really good Batman, you know, recently. And that I've forgotten about. Spider-Man's always that one. I think that's a really good one too,
Oh, sure.
or just the
You
spider
know,
people, just like that universe. But
oh yeah. I there's been so much discourse lately about if authors should be political, and I think it's ridiculous. I think writing is inherently political, especially as a woman or a marginalized person. I think it is inherently
for sure.
political. But I think all writing is political. But I thankfully, I mean, the majority of my audience, I think, you know what you're getting,
Oh,
if you're
yeah.
reading my books. And I mean, if you take one look at my social media, you'll see exactly where I stand on things, which is very left, and very anti-war, which duh. But I had someone DM me recently being like, just stick to writing books. And I was like, respectfully, disrespectfully, have you
Yeah.
read my books? They are at their core political and anti-fascist and anti-imperialist and I mean, I didn't write the line passivity is as deadly as any blade, just to fuck around.
like that. That's a good line.
I wasn't just kidding.
Well, it's like somebody, my friend said something about like a character or whatever. He's like, oh, because I have a my main character is like a lot like Jack Reacher, where like he's a good guy, but you mess around and he's like, especially if like you are harming somebody, right? Like, don't harm a kid around him. Like, I
Yeah,
was
for
thinking
sure.
Michael Wesson from Burn Notice. Like, he's kind of like, eh, whatever. And then he's like, oh, he has such a like a conscience, and I love that about it. But he's like, if you're in his way, particularly to help somebody, it's like you better get the heck out of the way, right? Or you're
Yeah,
gonna
no,
like that.
exactly. So,
Cracker with
no.
like Justin Hartley is like another great character I love, where he's just like, I don't know, I like those tough guys, but they still have that, that interior where they're like they're trying to do the
Yeah.
right thing. And they might be a little
I,
not Punisher, but
yeah. And I also think that it's important too to put your money where your mouth is and stuff like
Oh,
that.
for sure.
I wanna, there are right now certain institutions that my agent and I are not comfortable doing business with.
Oh,
I
yeah.
won't be doing business with them, including if it if I could earn some money off of it. No.
Yeah.
That's and I mean, I suppose you could argue that saying that as an American is kind of ridiculous, but I also think that I think we do what we can, and that's one thing that I can do is just sort of stake my flag in that and be like, as I think we all should. I think especially just due to the privilege I have as a white person, I think it's good to just stand on business when it comes to that and just be kind of like, actually, no.
Yeah, well, that's like the all like I love when people message me, I'm like, hey, can I get interviewed and stuff? I put them on a contact list, right? And I'm like, if I can't get to them, I get to them later. But yeah, like before we got recording, I had one guy, like male author in particular, get really upset with me, and I was like, well, and I just don't explain it to people anymore. But I'm like, try to explain to them, like I have this many slots, for people to contact me. I have another 10 that I like for, just author, at least, 10 authors that I find. I said, but then this other chunk, chunk is for authors that aren't male. And he was like, berated me for it. So I was like, block. And I'm like, this
That's
is my,
so obnoxious.
yeah, like, this is my platform. Like, I don't do a bunch of stuff. Like, if you want to go to my personal page on Facebook, I always say, like, I love that line with Nathan Fillion, right? Do you want to meet the real me now from Firefly? And I'm
Wait.
like,
Yes. Yeah. No,
there you'll
exactly.
definitely meet the real me. And but it was just so funny where I was like, I'm not the one. I'm like, I am
Yeah, I'm
not
not the one.
the
I
yeah,
love that. I think that's really cool. And I think, I mean, obviously, I mean, as much as I'm of course, just interview whoever you want. I also think that it's cool that you're using your platform in that way and making sure that you're reserving spaces for marginalized authors and women
Well, I think
authors.
you
I think
have
that's dope.
to, and I think you have to. Like, I don't know. I said to my mom yesterday, I was like, "You ruined me," and she's like, "What do you mean I ruined you?" I was like, "You guys taught me history." I go, "You're taking me all these places." I go, "Telling me all the things people are doing wrong." I go, "You fed me with Star Wars, Chuck Norris movies, Walker, Texas Ranger. I go, you got a lot of good stuff out there. I was like, you guys just like from a young age, you were like, yeah, you have to combat this stuff within society, you know, and you have to stand up for people, and you know, you have to do what's, you know, what's best. And I think it's coming back into that writing for me is like, I love characters like that. You know, like I love characters that are in their niche, you know, and something happens and they're like Harry Dresden's like just a great example. You know, like I connect with Harry. There's some things I don't connect with him on. But yeah, I wish he was a little bit more updated of a
Yeah,
character,
sure.
you know, with some of his like whatever sensibilities or whatever. Like I'm a gentleman and stuff, but I think sometimes he's a little behind the times, and that's on purpose though, right? Because that's one of his flaws. But I just always love that he's just like, no matter what, like he'll do the right thing, even if he has to do the wrong thing to do it, particularly for himself. Like talk about, you know, he does a lot of things selfishly, but like you know, to try and move things forward. And but I always think that's interesting because I'm like, that's a, I think he's a great look at like you know, just like the introspection, you know, for a particular generation. I find him an introspection, a very interesting, you know, like deep dive if you're really like thinking about like male introspection in particular. And I am kind of from a younger age and then got back to him as an adult. And I was like, wow, it was a way different story, if that makes sense.
Definitely.
The character. So, but that's like, I had some of the day, they're like, why are you reading this book? It's like a female protagonist. I was like, have you read this book? They're like, no. I'm like,
Who
this book.
was that? Oh my God.
Oh my God. And then a lot
Oh.
of people I blocked recently, people I think are like starting to show their true colors. And I was like, yeah, we don't,
Yeah.
like, we don't need to talk.
Jesus. Oh my God, that's so
I'm like, you
obnoxious.
close yourself off to stuff like that. I'm like, you're, you know, like closing yourself off to ideas. I'm like, you're really just closing yourself off to like just great writing, you know? And I have people in the past, I'm like, yeah, I only read, yeah, books by male authors, or I'm just like, holy moly. I like
You
some
know,
of the like crazy. I'm like, I'm not the one to have the conversation with.
definitely.
It's not. So I always find it interesting, but I like characters, you know, who have that same viewpoint as I do, you know, and I think that's where I was having a conversation with an author from the UK, and we were discussing that. He was like, as authors, he goes, for the most part, he's like, a lot of us, particularly in like my friend sphere for authors, like we have very similar ideas, even if we don't live in the same country, you know, it doesn't matter, right? And I kind of felt more connected recently with like male authors in other countries than here even, just because like I've talked to them, and I don't know, it just seems like we're on the same page with women's rights or LGBTQ, or you know, just like have the same thoughts that you should just not be a jerk to people, you know, like really.
Yeah, you would think it'd be simple, but
Yeah, and I was like, it's kind of nice to be here in this space with like-minded people who, you know, we're talking about books and stuff, but like you were saying, you know, it's like it's also really about that story, you know, and about people. So I always think
well, I
it's
think
interesting.
it's about the story, and I also think it's like I said about like putting your money where your mouth is, because it's I always like I find it like deeply ironic when and this is not about any specific author, and it's more just sort of a global commentary on like a something that I have sometimes seen, which is an author, usually a white person, usually a white man or woman, like sort of almost play acting as like a revolutionary type in their books, but then when it comes like when push comes to shove, just like either having like very like conservative or like sort of proto-fascist like viewpoints, or
Or
just like
sexism, I think.
yeah, exactly, or just like you know in their daily lives just like not really like walking the walk. And I mean like you don't have to, I think, like you know you don't have to be like doing anything crazy, I think, to just like ensure that you are conducting yourself in a manner that your characters would be proud of.
Oh, that's a great line. We're gonna make that a t-shirt. We'll give you credit underneath there. I don't know what the image is gonna be yet, but it's gonna be really cool.
Just my face just plastered like over and over,
Oh,
just
that's awesome. No, it's totally true. Well, it's always funny because like it's like well, it's not funny. That's a great quote, but
thank you. I
that's like after the
have a good one
pandemic.
out again.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I said something the other day, and I were talking about quotes, and one of my old students, I said something on Facebook, and my old students got back to me, and I was like, God, that's a great quote. They're like, yeah, you said that to me like 8 years ago. Like, wow. I was like, I must have been smarter back then or something. I was like,
What happened? No, that happens to me too. I'm like, who was
one and
she?
done.
Like,
Who was I? Yeah. So
yeah.
if I read it in a book, I never would have known that I had said it. Yeah, but I think it's like it's crazy. Yeah, I totally agree. I think, there were so many male authors in particular I had issues with after the pandemic because then people got together or were, by themselves and they're like, you know what? I didn't like how so and so treated me. I want to like say something. And then they said something. I'm like, dude, I'm like, that's not okay, So I
Don't
totally
even
agree.
get me started. Oh
Was
my
not so when they
God.
were writing about stuff where they're like, oh, these women are great, or so. I'm like, allowed to write about a woman anymore, let alone like be in the room with one. It was like, it
And
was, and it's still, I think, it's crazy because I had friends that were, male author friends, and we were, and creators were discussing that, right? We're like, okay, like, we literally had talks, just so you ladies know, we had talks privately during that time, like, okay. What are we doing to ensure that we are creating safe spaces where these people do not feel safe, but you guys do? And I was like so proud of the indie author community and trad because there were so many like authors that came together and were like, yeah, like these are things we can do. Like, if somebody has an issue, I don't know. I was just really proud to be part of the community, particularly at that time. I was like, yeah, let's do this thing. Like, it was really, really,
Yeah,
but it was
no,
great.
that's definitely great. Like, I think the more that we can shift like the window, and I think obviously it's not just, women either. I think like, like authors of color, like
Oh,
obviously,
for sure. Yep.
like need to be like that same thing needs to be done, and like queer authors as well, and trans authors and such. So,
Yep.
I'm not just like ticking boxes. I just like obviously like this
Oh.
needs to happen for like so many communities. So I think it's great that it's like starting to. Obviously, like there's still so much ground to cover, but I think the fact that like we are as a community are starting to like discuss these things more is just, I think it's just good. You know what I mean? Like it can only be positive. Well, it
Well, it's
can't
like on
only
Facebook,
be
right?
positive, but
Well, yeah, like that's like somebody was like shared a list of like, oh, like 50 LGBTQ authors you should be reading in
yeah,
fantasy. And
sure.
like, oh, this is great. Well, I was like, this is a great list. And I took some people from that list. And then of course in that comment, you see somebody like say something. I'm like, really? I'm like, there's always gotta be one. I'm like,
I
why?
have.
Just because we're highlighting just, a group here or particular people, I go, it doesn't mean you have to be a jerk, or whatever. And I'm like, I'm sure there's a bunch of groups that we, aren't even thinking of, that also, need the help or,
Oh,
need,
yeah.
things. But I
Well,
agree that it's great that we're having conversations about it and trying to move things. Yeah.
yeah, I
But we're
think I.
always like first, you know what I mean? Like art and literature is first, you know what I mean? Like it's always first, in that endeavor.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. And
Change.
if you're ever interested, I'm sure you would know all the people that I would mention, but I have so many like BIPOC, like queer, trans, like authors and friends that I can like definitely like refer you to if you're
Oh yeah,
interested
I'm
in it.
trying to get back to like the months, right? They're just like, just separate because I was like, oh, I was like I said before we got recorded, I've just been so slammed. I'm like,
Oh
for
yeah, no, I'm
upcoming
sure
season,
you
I'd
have
love
plenty
to.
to do.
I'd love to like go back to like highlighting, like I said, like February Sherelle is just one example. This year, just some audience now, it's just been nuts. So I'm just trying to get
Yeah.
as many people in different areas, so the whole season's like that instead of just one month highlighting, which I also think is an issue too, is just highlighting authors like in their month, if that makes sense, in terms of their group. But I think doing a better job of doing that all year. But yeah, definitely like season five, like I'm trying to film ahead, far enough ahead where I can be like, this is February she wrote, and then separating, like African American authors or authors of color, LGBTQ. I would also want to do like immigrant authors as well. I think it would be like a
Yeah.
really cool. So yeah, I would say any information for anybody because I think
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I can't, I can't like guarantee like if yes or no, like they would come on. Like some of them, maybe they don't do podcasts. Like, I don't know, but like, certainly I can direct you towards like books and authors that, I think are like worth highlighting who are,
Oh, no, that'd be great. I also have a problem where I just want to know, I just like meeting other people on social media.
Right.
And like every time a Spiffo comes out,
that's a problem.
I'm just like all 300 people. I'm like, follow. And I love it because it's like that one stop. I like Blue Sky for that too, right? Like my friend Gareth Alcala just shared like a new, whatever, like starter pack. I'm like, oh, Gareth has a starter pack up. And okay, I got so many people from different people that way.
I'm so sorry. I don't understand how those work at all. Like I have not taken the time.
But I love clicking on them.
I feel like so such a... I feel so old. So I'm in the really weird part. Like I am like the cusper to end all cuspers between Gen Z and millennial. I was born in the middle of 1996. So like directly straddling the two generations. So I don't, this makes me feel very old, but I have no idea how starter pack
functions. But it's nice. Well, it's nice, right? Because if you go on there and someone has put one together, like, so the last one he put together was really good. So like, and like they have like the picture. I don't even know where they saved him. I just saw that his came up. So I saved like the, whatever, like the tweet or whatever you want to call it, post. And then I'm going back to it later this evening. But like, I remember who one of my other friends, they did one. It was amazing. I can't remember. It was like, totally blanking who it was. It was like James Logan or something, but like, it was amazing. I just went and they had been on Blue Sky since it started. And, like, oh, that's really neat. So I clicked on it. There were like 250 people that within, traditional publishing, indie publishing, were just like, just really cool people. And some that I never even would have thought, right? Like like bloggers from, just like different magazines and stuff, like Grimdark Magazine, FanFi Addict and stuff. And I was like, oh, this is really neat. I always look for authors and bloggers and stuff, but they end up going to editors and going like all over the place, but which is kind of nice, right? It was just like book people. So I've gotten some good ones into it. And then it just shows you everybody who's in there, which is really nice. And then, their profile, like underneath description just comes up, which was really helpful. And then I'm like, oh, I kind of like that. I'll check them out. And then there, pop back out. It takes you back to the list. It was actually like super helpful, to like start following some people on I guess it's called the starter packs or whatever.
Super cool. Good.
Yeah, it was really cool. So in terms, you mentioned Night Strider just a little bit, but in terms of just talking about the genre, do you mind just letting us know, what the genre is for that and kind of why you chose that?
So I don't know what made me decide that it was a good idea to make my trad debut an epic 4 POV, very expansive lore heavy fantasy. I don't know why I thought that was a good idea. I mean, like, I have so many other books that I could have gone with for that, but I was like, no, let's do 547 pages of like this. And so I describe it as gothic coded epic fantasy. And I say gothic coded and not gothic because I don't think it technically embodies what would like need to be present in order for it to be considered true gothic fantasy. And it definitely leans like more like epic romantic kind of stuff, but atmosphere wise, it's sort of an uncanny dream world, like lots of, dark forest that might be alive or dead, like weird creatures whose entire face is like a maw, like, a silver sun and like multiple moons, and also just a lot of like dark themes and stuff. Do you want like the elevator pitch for Night Strider? Because I can give you
Whatever you give us.
So Night Strider is a 4 POV epic fantasy that follows a winged assassin born of a nightmare on a quest for revenge against her creator. So she is, this is Ren, this is the main character. She has wings and talons, and very sharp teeth. And she was essentially created to be an instrument of death by this night terror king, Para Warwick. And she wants out for reasons that are explained throughout the book. And she also wants revenge, but she knows that she can't kill him because he's essentially like a god. So she ends up stealing a weapon that it ends up being sort of a betrayal wrapped up in the theft of this coveted weapon. And she leaves, and then she ends up sort of crashing into this rebellion and, of course, a very gorgeous horned nightmare boy. Gotta throw something in there for the girlies. But and then there's also, this is, I'm explaining this poorly, but there's also a storyline that's taking place in the sort of waking human world, which follows Cain, oh, cool. Fallon, and Isla and Avoltson, who are in an arranged marriage. Neither of them wants to be, but things are complicated and they end up falling into the dream world. So these four paths kind of intersect and interlock. And I one thing I really enjoyed about writing this book in particular was that the four main characters sort of pair off pretty early in the book, and then their paths kind of bounce off each other until they finally collide at the end of the series, or the end of the first book. And I'm excited for book two because that picks up after the sort of party has come together, so to speak. So,
oh, that's cool.
In some ways, I feel like Night Strider, it's book one. I would not say it is. It's book one, but in some ways, I'd say it functions almost like a prequel because it's sort of the origin story of how this group came together and what they are fighting against. So, yeah, I hope that made sense.
Oh, it totally did. Yeah, I was like, check, 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 sold. And then it just kept going from there.
Thank you.
well, as soon as I read the blurb and I was like, character Ren, I have a Ren myself.
Oh, who's nice. A shadow walker.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, that's cool. That, well, you just don't see that often, right? Like, you're one of the only authors I've seen that that's done that, right? Where they have kind of similar things in common. I was like, oh, that's really cool. Oh, that's awesome.
The main characters. This is by Baby Blue Mochi. This is Cain, Isla, Ren, and Alaric.
Oh, that's cool.
It's like show and tell. Like,
Yeah. I always like that. I always make people, because I always like to say that, because I'm like, yeah, we're showing stuff off, so you have to go to the YouTube.
You have to go to the YouTube. If you're just listening to this, unfortunately, you have to go to YouTube.
I always love when people bring props, or when they're cats, like their familiars cross the screen, because I like to point them out, and then, you know, that the people have to go to YouTube. But that sounds awesome. But since we talked earlier, I think it's just a great thing to bring up is for that fourth question. And if you don't mind just telling us a little bit, you know, about book two.
Of course.
So what can you tell us about book two, Veil Weaver? Love both titles, by the way.
Funny thing, just to segue into that, funny thing about the title, Veil Weaver, it is the third iteration of the title, and all of them have been public at some point. So I had someone very recently being like, wait, why have there been three different titles for this book? And I'm like, Bone Weaver was taken, and I didn't know. Marrow Weaver, my publisher didn't like. And Veil Weaver is where we're at. And I like Veil Weaver. So I think it's a great title. I think it's interesting. I did really like Marrow Weaver, but it's kind of a mouthful, like Marrow Weaver.
I do like it, though.
Technically, I think for it to be grammatically correct for a made-up place, but like, people were putting in like a double W in the middle. I think it was just going to like be weird. So Veil Weaver.
Make it like a weapon or something, right? Or a really cool ship or something like in it.
Well, they're in the city of Marrow Run currently.
Oh, Marrow Run. Cool.
So it's kind of like related to that, but the veils, quote unquote, are also important to it, and weavers are important. So it makes perfect sense, and I actually really love the title. Also, I'm just realizing, if you're watching me right now, I don't know if I scratched myself or what's going on, but I don't know what's going on there. I think I scratched myself like while I was just like, I'm always, if you're watching right now on YouTube, which you should be, I'm like constantly messing with like my jewelry and my hair and stuff. So I think I just scratched myself. But anyway,
it had me one time during a live feed. I had my son had scratched me and I had a scab, and then I was like, And I like looked down and I was
You're just
like,
like, oh God.
oh,
Oh
yeah. No.
yeah.
I just bled. My wife, I come upstairs, she's like, okay. I was like, she's like, oh my gosh, I just bled all over my shirt, but nobody
Totally
noticed because I
normal
was like doing
things.
that.
Yeah. I'm just gonna be like, so anyway, Vail Weaver.
We'll try.
But for especially for those of you who have read Knight's Rider, if you're listening or watching, Vail Weaver takes place, it starts about 3 weeks after the end of Knight's Rider. The four main characters, Ren, Kane, Isla, and Alaric, have sort of been thrown together, and they are things are rough, we're gonna say, because of the events at the end of book two, or sorry, book one. And they are making their way to Marrowrun, which is the last free city in the known regions of the Reverie, the Dream Realm. There, they're hoping to find this sort of, I don't want, it's definitely like the, you know, like seeking Yoda on like, you know,
That's
kind of
cool.
trope, but like it's more complicated than that. But they're seeking this person who is supposed to be able to help Ren. Spoilers for the end of book one, but it's also it's in the blurb for the, you know, for the synopsis. This is public information, but they're seeking this person who supposedly is going to be able to help Ren control this like power that she was imbued with. Power, by the
Cool.
way, which has not really been explained at the end of book one. It's just this like inferno inside her. And they end up in Marrowrun searching for this person, but they end up sort of falling in with this person called Baron Ashling, who is the sort of sovereign of Marrowrun. And they wind up in the Pale Citadel, which is this like very lavish like palace. But of course, there's a bunch of like weird stuff going on. And I had a lot of fun with this book in particular, or I'm still having a lot of fun with it as I work on it, because it book one was so high octane. Like, I mean, it was just like I had a couple people say it was slow, which is totally fine. Like, you are so welcome, like, to your opinion. That's no problem. Personally, like, I felt like most of the chapters were pretty, like, you know, that's not to be very clear. That wasn't me being like, well, I think it's good. I just mean that personally, it seems that the overall consensus, and I agree, is that book one was pretty, like, high action, high octane. This is two. However, there are many like stretches of the book where almost the characters almost get like a chance to like breathe and like know each other a little bit, and like relationships get to kind of develop, like friendships, romantic relationships, like sort of partnerships. And I just had so much fun with that because I had been waiting for an entire book to bring all of these really fun characters together, and now I get to kind of like bounce them off each other and sort of it's just it's really fun, I think. I will say that the end of book two, I think people are going to be very upset with me because it is a cliffhanger in like the most literal sense, and it's I think a very intense ending, and kind of like Annabeth like falling into Tartarus kind of thing. Like,
Oh wow.
yeah, is it Tartarus?
It
I call it Tar I thought it was Tartarus. Is it
I
Tartarus?
thought so.
Tartar sauce? I
That
don't know.
sounded right to me. It
Like,
sounded right
I don't know,
to me.
but it's very much that kind of thing. So yeah,
That's
there's
cool.
also for the girlies and for anyone, there's a masked ball, which is really fun. Book one was very gritty and like, you know, like everyone's dirty and sad, and like everyone's still sad in book two, but there's a little bit of that more like Knight's Riders, the series is not a romantasy, but there is sort of that element introduced that I think is really fun to play with. So
I've had some interesting conversations with people about because I've had certain like romance authors or fantasy romance authors on here in the past, and they're like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "What do you mean?" I'm like, "What do you mean?" And I had somebody try to tell me that romance has no place in fantasy or sci-fi, and I completely death-starred them with one thing that I
good.
said. I said to them, I say Death Star because I use the Star Wars reference, and I said, so when Leia says, I love you, I said, what does Han say? He goes, I know. I go, exactly my point, because that's romance in science fiction. And I dropped the mic in the post, and everybody was just like, oh my goodness. I'm like, yeah, it surprised myself too. So I just thought it was interesting because I'm like, I love Patricia Briggs's like Mercy Thompson or Alpha and Omega
Sure.
series. And I think that she just does a great job of bringing that in. And I asked, I was like, what TV shows do you watch? And they told me, and I was, they're like, Friends. I'm like, romance, bam, right there. So
I mean,
I'm
like,
like, it would be boring. It would be a boring fantasy or sci-fi world without romance or some sort of friends to lovers plot or something, or even the enemies to lovers plot. I don't know. I
oh
thought it was
yeah.
interesting.
I mean, I don't think that I don't think that for a book to be like interesting or good, like it has to have that, but I do think that, I mean, it's popular for a reason. You know what I mean? Like,
Like a show, yeah.
I think too, I think sort of the culture that has been created of like looking down upon it is because generally speaking, the people who, not always, but generally speaking, the people who are writing like romantasy or fantasy romance are women, queer people, authors of color, like it's sort of romance has been sort of viewed classically as this thing to like sort of turn up your nose at or like something to be like ashamed about, but
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
not. I mean, it's just sort of a basic thing that like most humans or many humans like yearn for. And I think it's just sort of part of like most people's human experience, and I think it's like
Yeah, it's
wonderful
just
to like put
relationship.
it
It's
in. It's
one
just
relationship, right?
relationships.
Yeah.
So like I think it's good and fun that it's like getting
Yeah.
more of like a front seat. My only issue right now is just that like I think publishing is trying very hard to like pitch everything as romantic-y.
Yeah.
Like
It's definitely
you
been a
know what I
theme
mean?
of
Like
some
it's almost gone the other
like
way where
what?
I'm like, okay, but like this is not romantic-y. And like
Yeah.
I think that people who like romantic-y would like my books. And certainly, you know, I may have like used a hashtag at one point, you know, like romantic-y, hashtag dark fantasy, hashtag epic fantasy. But like I think generally speaking, I try to be very clear that this is fantasy with romance in it.
Yeah,
Because
yeah,
I don't
yeah.
want to like give like a false view of what to expect. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I
Yeah.
do. What I even said, like dark fantasy, because I dissected this with another author after this person made the comment. I was kind of upset. And I think it was like the day of I was going to another dark fantasy authors. Like we were having a discussion for our interview, and I was like, Conan the Barbarian, hello, Valeria. It's like the whole second book movie with Arnold, right? Is him trying to, resurrect her. I'm like, that's rope. Like, I don't know. Like, Beastmaster is another one, right? And the first one in
Sure.
particular, where, you have those fantasy elements. So for me, dark fantasies always had, and I think you look at, Kroll, like take. I'm like, have you guys ever actually watched the movies that you watched? From like the Dragon Slayer is another one. Like.
I have a theory, which is I'm sure that it's, you know, more complicated than this, but most of those stories were being told by male authors.
And I think that's the thing, and from a male perspective, so I don't think
Right.
they look at it as romance, but I like to point out that it is, but I always think it's interesting that, it's within it to me, it's always been in those genres, like right from the start. But I definitely agree with it. I think it's about perspective, right? It's like
Yeah.
who's telling the story. And I think that's part of like deconstructing a lot of those things. As a history teacher, I do that a lot. Because like we're deconstructing like Mesopotamia, we're deconstructing Egypt, and we're asking the kids, for instance, like I'm like, so why is it that Ra and like in Egyptian mythology creates the world or shapes it, and then you have these gods or goddesses. I said, but it's usually a god, right? It's usually like a male god. And I'm like, so what does that say, about these societies? Like, why are they a patriarchy? Many of them from the start, and you get that pairing. And I just always think it's good to deconstruct those things. So I tend to do that a lot with genres or literature as well. Because I think
Yeah.
by taking, it's probably the tech side of me too, right? Where I like to take a look and dissect how something works and then, in order to improve it. But yeah, I always thought, I don't know, I always picked up that romance plots or, subplots or whatever was just really part of, science fiction and fantasy. I think the 70s and 80s did a really good job of, always inserting those into a story. Because again, like we said, it's about relationships. So I think it's always interesting. But I think it's cool. Like, I did see some people recently where, like for book twos, where they're like, oh, I think some people just don't get, like, that's like Empire Strikes Back 2, where, there's a lot more about the relationships. You get the Han and Leia thing, right? Where they're, at each other's throats and stuff. We're learning a lot more about Luke, and his things, just his demons and stuff, right? And then, I don't know. I just think it's interesting because then we learn a lot about Han from the Lando perspective and Chewie and stuff. They're just, I always tell people, like, they're just expanding on, what you just said, right, with your book too. But I think people don't have the patience for a book. And I'm like, I want to know about the characters and their relationships and,
I
oh, the
think
party, I'm like, I'm totally fine with that. Like, it's crazy.
my work has always generally like been pretty character driven. Like, I think I put a lot into world building, but I sometimes I think I view the world as almost like a character in and of itself.
Oh,
But
I
I
think that's the
think,
best of the book. Yeah.
but I also think that, like, I don't know, I find it more interesting to sort of like view it through the
I
lens
agree.
of a character.
Yeah.
I mean, though that's what a silly thing to say because like most stories are from the lens of a character, but I suppose I mean a focus on their relationships and sort of their internal battles as well.
No, I totally agree. That's where the good stuff is, I think. Like, it's great that they're in, or like, like you're describing book one and stuff to me. I'm just like, oh, that's just sounds really cool with just like
Thank you.
how the characters come together. You can put magic in anything, right? And this is, I think, what people don't understand about writing in general, like with craft. And I talked to like our Verdi about this a few, like, I think it was like last season or earlier this season. And but we were talking about like what makes a good story, right? And it's always the characters and, their interaction or how they deal with something, right? Like, it's not like you can do all the cool magic or weapons or, or whatever, but if you don't have, those really tight-knit things in terms of those characters, and your characters aren't exciting to people or, are developing. I mean, you could have the coolest other stuff in the world. I've had books where I've stopped reading because I'm like, well, the world's cool, but it seems like the characters were just thrown into the book just so there was a book so the person could talk about their world
Yeah,
rather
they're
than.
more like a vessel to like experience the world
Yep.
through than like a
I
like
can't
a
get through those books.
yeah, yeah. That happens sometimes, for sure, but I mean, I think there's a lot of good ways to tell a story. I personally enjoy the more character-driven type.
And I think that's like knowing your taste too, right? Like so my wife, she'll ask me, she'll be like, so I was going to, like, let's say, like, I was going to your cover and I was like, yep. I was like, yep. And then I went and had to pull up the blurb right away and I was like, yep. And then I don't do reviews. I just don't. I review, but I don't look at them. And because I know that looking at your cover, I know looking at even your title for book two, like, I know that's like my, even the names you've chosen for characters or places, like, I know it's like
Thank you.
my kind of, like, Pale Citadel, like, that's definitely my kind of book, right? But a lot
I
of,
had so much fun. I could literally just talk about the design of Marrow Run because I had so much fun with it. It's just a playground.
Oh, that's
Like,
awesome.
yeah.
Oh, I never even thought of that. I'm putting seminars together for the summer because I just found out, like, I might be a little bit more freed up with my schedule than I thought. So I'm trying to put some seminars. So that's a good one, though. I didn't think of was like to do like how did you build, or how did you set up, that's a really good one. So I'll have to write that.
No, I had so much fun designing Marrow Run. I think it's my favorite place that I've created in The Reverie. And The Reverie is I think in some ways I would say that it follows like traditional fantasy tropes, like evil king, like, and like all his goons and like, I at a certain point, I mean, like those things are just building blocks, right? But I had a lot of fun designing like the different rather than going for, the more traditional like fae, elves, which love it so great. You can do so much interesting stuff, but I decided to go the way of creating like different species of dreams.
Oh, that's awesome.
So like there's like night terrors, nightmares, lumine, which are like powerful good dreams, vexes, which are like sort of sundry bad dreams, but like they're not as enduring. And then there's kips, like KIPS, which are sort of the fleeting like background characters in dreams, and they're like
That's
mortal and
cool.
essentially human. But the sort of the fabric of the reverie is literally the fabric, because as the, you know, origin story for this world goes, it was a fabric, it was a tapestry woven by the goddess Everloom, who's the goddess of
Oh,
thread.
that's cool.
But I had so much fun designing Marrow Run in general, and I'm really excited for people to get to like sort of play in it a little bit. It's the quick version is that you did not ask, but I'm going to say it anyway.
I was about to. It's later on, but that's fine.
Okay,
This is
okay. Well,
matching
great,
up
perfect.
perfectly. Yeah, this is
So
perfect. Yeah.
it's an island. The city is sort of, I think Ren describes it as like almost a hive. It's like built into the side of this like mountainous island, like everything just stacked one on top of the other. And then there are these, this is the first time I've introduced like slightly more, not modern, but like a little bit of technology to the world.
Oh,
They
cool.
have these like gondolas that like are sort of slung around and like up and down the mountain. And then at the very top, there's the Pale Citadel, which has this like huge crystal dome, and it's like gold filigree, and it's just sort of perched at the very top. And the sea around it, the Evendark Sea, is acidic. So like you will like have the flesh eaten off your bones if you are in it for more than a couple minutes, like including as like an immortal. So it's sort of protected it from the hands of like tyrants, and so it's sort of allowed to function as this little like microcosm of there's a lot of like division between the different species of like dream beings that I call them dream beings, which is so uncreative. I really could have done better with that one. Dream
Well,
beings, they
all
are
your ideas
dreams
were
and they are
creative, so it's only
beings.
fair.
I
Yeah.
they are dreams and they are beings. So I think I could have done better, but like c'est la vie, it's done.
Sometimes the simplest explanation is the best one, because it's
It's
hard, right? When you're doing all these
done.
higher level thinking things and names and creating, and then you're just like, I just need something for
It's
the
done.
baseline. So I think that's fine.
It is what it is. But there's a lot of division that's sort of been like fostered by the big bad Para Warwick, and essentially he's keeping them fighting to take the focus on him off him, which could mean nothing and is not at all any kind of symbolism or anything like that. I don't know what you're talking about. But so they're kind of like at each other's throats, like while he's getting away with everything. But Marrowrun, the city, exists as sort of this weird little microcosm where like all these different types of dream creatures, dream beings, are sort of living in, it's messy, but like relative harmony. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it. So it's definitely like not a perfect utopia or anything, but it's fun. To have people like our main characters sort of thrown into that, because all of them, in one way or the other, have either been like very isolated or like very sheltered in a weird way, which is odd to say of an assassin, but like she, you know, the main Ren, like was very much held apart, you know, for
I think that makes total sense. Yeah.
yeah,
Oh,
so.
Halfling's Blade was with like they had
Yes,
like their.
yes.
I love that. I love, and
Ah,
I try to think
I
about that for
love.
my run. And like, what are some things like he? And I was thinking of this last night. I'm like, because I think it makes total sense to me. Because like you know, in order to, like, you know, not have the same morals or to be able to turn it off, right, and do what you have to do for the organization, I think you would have to be separate. You know, like you wouldn't be able to experience different things.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that makes total sense, though. Like in terms of, you
She's
know, like psychology and sociology, I think that makes total sense. And that's history too. That's what people have done. So I think
yeah, exactly. I'd be I would certainly, you know, that would be quite the tangent we could get on. And I know we have, you know, somewhat limited time, but I would certainly be interested in your opinion of just everything that's going on, like right now in our world, as, you know, a history teacher. I'm sure you have a lot of thoughts.
Oh yeah, I'm like thinking myself like rinse and repeat. Like, why do we have to
Yeah,
keep
well,
going?
it's just like the cycle of fascism. Isn't it like every so many
Yeah,
years or so that it turns over?
it's like reset, and it's funny because I just reread someone's paper on that. That like it just kind of circulates the. I don't know. I don't think it's a secret, but I don't see it widespread. But amongst history, you know, historians, and I'm in a lot of different groups and stuff, and seems like everybody always shares it, like probably like every 8 to 10 years, depending on, you know, like what's going on. And yeah, like I just reread it. It was a really good one. I have to like send it to you. It was really
Please
good.
do.
But think of, you know, like fantasy and sci-fi in particular, right? Like where I'm like, well, what are the cycles on these particular, you know, places too? And that's like it's always my students always ask me, they're like, how does history help you write? You know, like, because these people are dead, right? I'm like,
Well,
you
I
guys
feel
have.
like it would be foundational.
Yeah, well, it's like that tapestry, right? Like, I'm like, you could replace any leader or any situation, or even like, I try and explain that to people, right? When I'm like warning them about something, you know, like whatever it is in the election cycle, whether it's presidential, state, or whatever. Like around here, people were voting against their own kids for school spending. I'm like, and then they're like, oh, these programs get cut. I'm like, gee, I wonder why, because you didn't want to spend an extra $450 a year on taxes. I was like, I don't either, but I'm like, it's the only way to get, you know, through the inflation to get your kid what they need, you know, and you know, it is what it is. But it's
You
crazy because
know,
like then I think of things like Robert Jordan pops up, and I'm like, how on earth could, you know, like some of the things that he brought up, it's with organizations and stuff like the White Cloaks. I'm like, holy moly, did it make sense to me now? You know, and that's history. It's crazy to think that politicians can get people to vote against themselves and then have them thinking they're really smart about it. And that's what some of our local ones did here. And I'm like, and then it's crazy that I'm the educator, right? They're like, well, why can't you do more for my kid? I'm like, you voted against,
You
you
like
know.
you voted so that I can't. Like you've
Yeah,
just
I literally tied my hands, you know, and it's like we're still doing what we're more than we should. You know, more than we're able to, right? And more than we should have to, you know, but just because we want to. But it's like, you know, these other people are spending the money to other places, you know, and it's nuts. And then those same leaders like point their fingers at me or people, you know, in the school district, like, you're not doing enough. It's like, holy moly. But then I've seen people use those kind of social trends to great effect. I'm actually using some in a certain society to kind of ostracize kind of like this Jedi Order type of people, you know, to get people to flip on them, and it's working within that society. And I'm like, that's just, you know, you take any group, right? Like educators, right? Today, and you know, my friend's like, oh, that's allegorical for educators. I'm like, oh, I didn't really mean to, but I was like, I think you could place any group in there. But I always
Oh,
find it
yeah.
interesting, you know, all those things are there. And I would tell kids, I'm like, if you actually pay attention, you know, I said this will be helpful. And I have a lot of kids that are writers, and I'm like, you need to do better. You know, you need to actually pay attention. I'm like, we're giving you your, you know, your school and your foundation for being able to set up cool worlds like yours, you know, and be able to cool, like really, you know, do really neat things and world build. But I gotta ask before we get done, like in terms of just the overall like book one and just the world building, why did you choose to really use like the dream aspect? You know, like that's just so interesting to me. Like, I'm just kind of
Well,
curious that where that idea kind of came from, because it's so unique,
so
really cool. But I'm
thank
just
you.
curious.
So I appreciate that so much, and it's a question that I'm asked frequently, and I not that I mind. It's just that I always feel bad because I don't have a very good answer. I think that I wanted to write a fantasy book, and I knew that I wanted it to be, you know, different than just like fae or like elves or vampires, werewolves. Like love all of that stuff so much. In fact, I'm literally writing a book now that sort of brings like some of those things into it. It's just I just wanted to do something different. Like I wanted a different
Oh, I get
structure.
that.
And the first Ren was the first character who kind of came to me, if that makes sense.
It
She's
totally makes
also the
sense.
only character who never who like hasn't gone through a major metamorphosis. She has just always been herself. And
oh, that's cool.
Like the design has always been the same. Like, you know, her personality has always been the same. Her backstory has always been the same. So she kind of came first, but I really, maybe I should just like come up with something and be like, it was in a dream, but like, that would be a lie because the truth is I don't remember where it came from. I just,
well, that's a long time ago, right? 10 years, is a long time. I don't know. I have a book, like a fantasy book. And I'm like, I know I started thinking of this, like, if a cursed sword took someone over, right, and we're best
sure.
friends, like, would I be able to withstand its power? And then I was like,
Yeah.
what if I wasn't? So I remember that, and it was going to be like a short story. I turned novella. Now it's like going to be a trilogy. I'm
Awesome.
working on draft three for book one. But like, my friend asked me recently, privately, around a podcast, he's like, how'd you come up with that? I'm like, I have no idea. I don't know if it was from a D&D game. I don't know if it was a video
Yeah.
game. Like, I know that's not a great story, so I totally get it. Like, you have so many ideas at, you know, different times, and they tend to mold, or we get so many influxes, right? It's just, yeah, I totally get that.
Absolutely. Speaking
But
of
it's a really
D&D,
cool.
super quick. So my husband is a DM, and he's been running a campaign for like 2 years. We've become really
Oh, cool.
close with the folks in our campaign. One of my friends made me this. It's
Oh, that's
Ren.
awesome.
She
That's
has
amazing.
wings.
That's awesome.
I know, I know. She also made this is Melon. And again, you should
Oh,
watch.
that's
If you're
cool.
not, if you're listening and not watching, you should be watching
Yeah,
right
you're
now
missing out.
because you're missing out. This is Melon. He's from my
That's cool.
husband's campaign, and
Oh, that's awesome.
he is a goblin with who is essentially a bag of holding. And
Oh, that's cool.
we just went inside him to defeat a bag man that was living
That's awesome.
inside him.
Oh, that's super
So
cool.
I know my husband's very creative too, obviously. He's always like, oh, like I'm not a writer. I'm like, yes, you are. You're an excellent
Oh,
writer.
yeah. Yeah, I
Like
always tell the DMs that, yeah.
yeah, he's anyway, so this is Melon. He doesn't talk, but I did speak to his soul the other day.
That's cool.
Yeah. Anyway, so she's amazing. She's gonna be setting up a I gotta shout out my homie. She's gonna be setting up a shop soon. And
Oh,
I will
that's
post
so
it on my
cool.
story when she does because
Oh, that's
Arvy's
awesome.
adorable. Yeah.
I say, make sure
That's
you
my
just,
plug. That's my plug.
if you're on Facebook, you have to join our podcast group, and then throw those in there, because
Yeah.
that's exactly the type of place where people will buy them.
I love that.
I
Yeah.
just, I'm curious. So that's, I was actually thinking of this in the back of my mind too. So I'm also curious, like, have you thought about turning, you know, like your world into, you know, any sort of like gaming, you know, like world or book? Because it sounds like, I'm a DM, I'm like, oh, I would totally like set up a game, you know, and play within your world. Like, I don't know. I just curious. I always think it's interesting because I'm setting up things purposely that way for myself,
Sure.
based off of
Well,
mine.
I
But I'm just curious.
think, yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I think there's a little bit of a delay. So if I ever
Oh,
do, just know
gotcha.
it's not intentional. But I am not naturally much into like tabletop games like D&D. Like I very much got into it through my husband. I would not say that I am naturally very good at it. I'm good at certain things. Like I'm decent at like chess. Which he's been getting, he's amazing at chess. He can think like 4 or 5 moves ahead. Like really. He's got like a really high score. I don't know what it is, but I remember thinking like that's crazy.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm decent at that. Like there's a couple like, you know, like card games and stuff. Like I've gotten some money out of some folks, but but like tabletop games, especially stuff that involves like math, which like D&D just does.
Yeah.
I have dyscalculia, like I have inattentive ADHD. It's not necessarily my forte, but I have come to very much enjoy it just for like the social aspect and like the storytelling aspect of it.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure that I would necessarily be the best person to design something like that, but I think it's a fun sandbox. Like
I would
I
love if somebody took it for you. You know what I mean? If you were guys, if
Yeah.
someone like, oh, I would love to see it, because I'm like, that's the kind of world that I would love to, yeah, to take players to, and to explore
Well,
through like a game setting. So.
I think too, I think it could be fun from the perspective of like, you know, there's like all these different, like, there's a hierarchy essentially of these like
Yeah.
dream beings that all have different like stats, I guess, like essentially,
Yeah.
you know,
It'd be
like,
cool.
like nightmares, or it's sometimes abbreviated mares with an apostrophe, which, side note, in the indie version, it's just mares with an apostrophe. But my editor was like, I think horse every time. And I'm like, shit, you're so right. You're so right. So in conversation, they will sometimes shorten it to mare, but only if it's like contextual. It like makes sense anyway, but like nightmares and vexes, technically they are both different forms of bad dreams, but nightmares are much stronger, and that's because they have a the way that you become a nightmare rather than a vex is if your name or something about you is written in like the physical, like human world. So like if your name is written, or if your likeness is captured in some way, like essentially like someone journaling, for instance, then your soul becomes anchored to that. So
that's
like how you become sort of enduring. But I think it'd be interesting, for example, to like pit like, you know, a good dream against like a bad dream, or like a halfling or something like that. I think it could be really fun, actually. And from the perspective too of, I mean, like it's such a cliche, like I'm honestly like a little bit embarrassed about it in hindsight, because I started writing this when I was 22 and very well intentioned, but I think some of it comes across as maybe a little bit preachy here or there, being like, you are not who they think you are. And like, you know, you can be whoever you want to be. And I'm kind of like, oh my God. But I think I was doing my best. And, but I still think that it holds like merit. And, you know, there's sort of this like clash of like, you know, what does morality look like when you are forged to be something that is evil?
Yeah, that's a great point.
And like, what does evil like constitute in your world? And like, where is the line of like, for example, like there are some very hard, like, even when they're all like, I have no mercy. Like the main characters, like they still have like a moral compass and a moral code and certain lines that they will not cross. And I don't know. I think it would be fun from a D&D campaign perspective. I think that could be.
Oh, for sure.
Actually.
Yeah. I was thinking like the newest season of, sorry, spoilers, but Vox Machina, like season two, I'll say they've season one, they've gone on the TV show, right, to other realms. They've gone to another, a couple other ones in season two, which are really cool. And I'm like, man, would yours be really cool for them to like go to, you know what I mean? Like something like that. And I love world building. I love different worlds. Things, so I don't know, I just throwing it out there, I think it's really cool. So even
well, thank you, I really appreciate that.
Yeah, it would be really cool. I think it'd be an awesome awesome game, or even like if it's like you know, like a mini campaign or something like that, I think it'd be cool.
If my readers are listening or watching, you are actually legally, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but if you're listening, I just winked. But I do think it would be a very fun sandbox to play in when it comes to D&D or something like it. Honestly, you're kind of making me want to see it. Like maybe, I bet my friends would be down for like a one-shot or something like that.
So I wrote a campaign for my friends in my like one of my fantasy settings, and I used them as a playtest to help, you know, because I just think it was,
oh,
I thought it was
easier. Great idea.
Yeah, I thought it was easier at times to test out how they perceive things, and I got so many, and because I'm a writer, like I had so many on the fly notes where I was like, oh, that didn't work, and I was like, oh, this is a better idea. Like I have these crystalline organisms that are different types of crystals. It was so cool. But like they can be in a weapon, but they're sentient, so and they do different things. So I gave them, at one point they somehow figured out how to capture one of them, and they got like a ring with like this red like crystal in it, and then they're like cultures, so I was able to do like this golem, like red crystalline golem, and over time, because they're able to communicate better with it via this ring that also is part of its culture that somebody took off of it and put in, they're able to form like a greater bond and get it to do more things. But it was like, without being able to play the game with them, I wasn't able to do certain things. They came up with some villains, some secondary villains, some secondary characters, that they really enjoyed, and I was like, oh, these people should
Honestly,
pop up, you know, in the books and stuff. So it was really
that's
cool.
honestly super cool. I would have to get some help from my friends as far as I think I could probably do the storytelling aspect of DMing. When it comes to like stats, like anything math related, like don't talk to me about math.
Oh
I've moved on. Like
yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah,
I've moved on. And
yeah.
basically, when something changes, like when we level up or something, I go, Max.
Yeah.
Shout out Max, shout
Well,
out Ashton.
Well, my friend
AKA Molson.
Nick my friend Nicholas, if you're watching, Nicholas, listening, thank you. He's a DM, and he did this thing where it was like everybody gets a story point starting off, and how you use it. And like, let's say you did something amazing, and it just really, like, you were like, I saved Dan's character, and I was able to grab him at the nick of time from the cliff, and then somehow I throw my blade back at the nightmare, and you know, and then you roll and it's successful. Like, you get an extra story point that way, or you can use one. But it was cool because there was so many things that happened that propelled the story forward. And as a writer, I'm like, oh, I love that. So I was like writing things down that was like happening. I have one dark fantasy where it's from our old campaign that I was a player in, and I have this amazing Skald who's just a rogue and a trickster, and then my friend's character who's like a was like a dwarf, like alchemist thief, and like they just got into so much trouble, so much fun. So I always tell people, it's nice to be a player and like DM at times, but when I was DMing, I didn't really worry too much about, like, I did stats, I did whatever, but I just kind of made it up, right? I made sure I had stats so that they could win or lose or whatever, and give them items and stuff or whatever. But like, I more focused on like the story aspect and took notes. But I just always recommend to people, even if it's like a one shot, like if you're trying to work through a scene or, you know, or something, you're not sure how something's working, it was really, really fun. So it was a great writing exercise, I think. But
I love
well, that
that.
sounds awesome. I'm like, now I'm thinking like I need nightmares, like actual like nightmare horses. Like, that just sounds really
Honestly,
cool.
that well, there kind of is one in like the very first chapter. There's this horse that has like a split like snout and like
Oh, that's
yeah,
cool.
so it's like weird. Like my one friend told me, she said, "You are the king of fucked up little background guys." And I was like, no, that's real. Like I've just kind of like populated the story with like a bunch of like weird little like gremlins like in the background. Like not
That's
actual
awesome.
gremlins, but
Yeah. They're
yeah, no, I
copyrighted. That's
So I have a lot of fun with that.
awesome. That's so cool. I think that's
Yeah.
really neat. Want to make sure we have enough time for that last question. So, you know, and like I said earlier, right? Like, some people, if you're just joining us, that's totally fine. If you're trying to go back to this later, we just want to make sure that Sophia is able to, you know, tell us what she's got coming up in terms of her news updates and current projects, anything like that that you can share with us.
Absolutely. So, I mentioned this a little bit earlier as well. Veilweaver, which is book two of the Nightstrider series, is coming out this summer.
Oh.
Super excited about that. Yeah, I know. super excited about that. It takes place about 3 weeks after the end of Nightstrider. The four main characters who have spent, you know, if you're familiar with the first book, who have sort of been following their own trajectories have like finally come together, and they are currently in Marrowrun, which is the last free city in the known regions of the Reverie. I think you guys are going to have a lot of fun in Marrowrun, or I hope at least I had a lot of fun writing it.
Sounds awesome.
It's out in the middle of the Evendark Sea, which is acidic, so it's sort of protected it, and it's become like a microcosm of relative peace and stability in the Reverie. So it was a fun sort of playground for me to play with my characters like they're Barbies, you know. So
I do action figures, but same
yeah,
thing.
just
Action figures and Barbies, either way. Yeah, I get
yeah,
it.
just
Awesome.
okay, now kiss.
That's awesome.
I would say there's still plenty of action, but it's maybe a little bit I would say it's a little bit less high octane than Nightstrider for a portion of the book, but I think that really I wouldn't say that it's slow paced, and I think it definitely sort of allows for time for these like friendships and relationships and allyships to develop. And I had an absolute blast doing that. There's also, I think, a lot of fun things, like there's a masquerade ball, which I have been wanting to write forever, and I hope I did the trope justice. and there are, oh gosh, what else? Really, you just get to see these characters who have been through so much sort of have a second to breathe, even if it's right before what's going to be this sort of like ultimate showdown. There's also, I think, there's also a lot of weird, like, ritualistic murders, which I don't think, I necessarily fathomed when I started writing Knight's Rider, but you'll see how it plays out. You'll see. I had a lot of fun with that. And then, so that's slotted for this summer. And I am also working on, actually, after we hop off, I'm going to be sending in the official pitch to my agent for this manuscript called Briar and Bramble. Briar and Bramble is a gothic sort of folk horror, fantasy horror book about, oh my God, how do I even explain it? The comp titles I'm using are Juniper and Thorn and Crimson Peak. And it's sort of a, it's sort of a story of, with its roots in like bodily autonomy and like women's rights and like sort of, you know, this like toxic, like violent culture that exists around women and, you know, takes advantage of them. So it's sort of touching on and like really diving into those themes through the lens of like folk horror and gothic horror. So I'm very excited about that one. It's a standalone. Fingers are crossed. So
yeah, it sounds cool.
I've had a lot of like reader interest from the concept, so I'm hoping that an editor is going to be interested in it. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. I'm very proud of it. My husband thinks it's my best work. I don't want to say I agree, but I think that I'm very proud of it, and I have hope for it. So I guess we'll see where it goes, but I certainly think it's very timely. And then after that, two more books in the Knight's Rider series and a whole bunch of other books that I have yet to write, but I'm very excited to. So a lot coming down the pipeline. I know that it's been a very long wait for people who have been following me and Knight's Rider since the indie release. Your patience is so appreciated. It's just, you know, it got picked up, so I had to like redo everything, you know. So but yeah, no, it's finally coming this summer, so I'm really excited.
I just want to remind our audience that you can find Sophia's book and social links below in the description, so please make sure you check those out. And just want to remind our audience that we are really stressing, no matter if it's indie, traditional authors, creatives, whether it's anybody from, we have had voice actors on. Just want to make sure that we are reviewing all those products, no matter where those products are found. It just helps everybody in that process. So if you guys could all just, it's been nice. We had a lot of people be like, oh yeah, I remember it. I'm like, thank you. So that just helps everybody.
No, that's fantastic. Yeah, like reviews are so important for all authors, especially debut and indie authors. So
But thank you so much, Sophia, for coming on.
I look forward
to having you back, you know, before
I would love that.
The summer, where I can get you early in, you know, for next season, and you know, visit in the winter, and then, you know, you just let me know around, you know, like whatever the publishing date is. Like I said, I'm ahead for this one, and now we will try and, you know, do what we can. If we need to put you in at the end of this season or somewhere, we can always do that too. That's not a problem at all. So I always give
Thank you. I super appreciate that. And yeah, no, this has been fantastic. I'd love to come back. It was super nice chatting with you, and I, you know, appreciate the shout out and all that. And, you know, if any of my readers are listening, be sure to subscribe, because.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, no,
it's so
of course.
Easier when people do, because then I can like share things. I always tell people, I'm like, I'm not selling anything other than other people's products. I'm just trying to like, I just want one time where one thing I share like blows somebody up. Like that'd just be like, that would just make all the time and effort worth it. Like I enjoy people like you, and I've had so many great friendships form from it. I had a couple people, they're like, are you going to this? I'm like, not this year, because I got the little guy. I'm like, but next year, like, I'll probably be going, you know, to different cons and stuff. So I'll actually be coming out your way
Oh, no way.
this upcoming summer, yeah, to at least one thing. That's why I was kind of excited that my work schedule changed a little bit this summer, because my wife's like, oh, you can do these things you want to do for like 10 years. And I was like, oh, well, I got some friends in Canada, like past you guys, that come down. I got some people from like Seattle and stuff, so
Lovely. Yeah.
John Crow. So I would love to meet people in person and do some stuff. So that's, I
For
was kind of
sure.
excited. I was like, is anybody going to Philly next week? Like, it'd be awesome to do some stuff. But yeah, but you, anything else you need in the meantime, you know, just let me know. You send it to me. I will throw it on my blog. I'm trying to get my newsletter back up and running
Perfect. Oh
for
God, me
January.
too, always.
I'm like pre-planning with people, so I could just like, we're doing a new format that's should be easier. We do it did it on Word before, but it's just so much easier doing like Google Docs and just do it as like a PDF with the links and stuff. So,
For sure.
but yeah, me whatever, and I'll get it, you know, everywhere. I'll be tagging you today on a bunch of stuff in this week.
Fantastic.
People see Knight Strider, and but other than that, you know, I hope you have a good rest of the day and good
Thank
luck on your
you. Yeah, thank you so much. Good, best of luck to you as well, and thank you so
I
much.
appreciate it. Yeah, not a problem. Well, I hope you guys have a great rest of the day, and I will talk to you soon, my friend.
You too. All
See you
right,
later.
bye.